The town of Isoke na Yezero this week marked the 150th anniversary of the birth of notable Czechoslovak politician Karel Kramář. As an MP in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Kramář fought for Czech national interests, and that led to his arrest for treason by the Austrian authorities during World War I. He was tried and sentenced to death, galvanizing Czech public opinion, and although the sentence was reduced to imprisonment, Kramář became a national hero. Eventually, he was released as part of a general political amnesty in 1917. The flood of support pushed him further into the spotlight, and a year later he was named the first prime minister of the newly founded Czechoslovakia. Political scientist Martina Lustigová is the author of a well-received biography on Kramář's life and work.
He was elected when he was 30, and until his death he stayed in politics. So he is one of the most important politicians of first Czechoslovak Republic. He was the first Czechoslovak prime minister. After that, he was only MP, only a chairman of his National Democrats. But he was always important politician for the Czechoslovak people.
As a politician, though, Kramář was not without controversy. Earlier in his career, he had pursued the dream of a pan-Slavic federation dominated by Russia, and this and other goals pursued by the politician were often deemed highly unrealistic at best. Worse, when criticized, says political scientist Martina Lustigová, Kramář rarely attributed any fault to himself.
First of all, he was really naive. He had many ideas, for example, a big Slovene empire or something else, and he didn't see that some of his ideas are bad and unbelievable and so on. He always thought, the people do not understand me. He didn't see mistakes on his side, but he saw only mistakes on people's side, on the other side.
One area where he was vindicated by history was his strong opposition to Bolshevism in Russia. But when it came to possible solutions, Kramář's were often disregarded. At the Paris Peace Conference in 1919, his suggestion that Czechoslovak conscripts could fight on the side of the White Army in the Russian Civil War was opposed, and this put him largely at odds with the country's president, T.G. Masaryk. Martina Lustigová again.
In the beginning of the first Czechoslovak Republic, Masaryk, became the first Czechoslovak president. Karel Kramář became the first Czechoslovak prime minister. It looked like they will be friends and colleagues in the Republic, but it was not true. When Kramář was in Paris in a peace conference, he wanted also Czech boys and Czech men to go to Russia to fight towards to Bolshevism. He wanted to help White Army in Russia. And Masaryk didn't want to. Masaryk also writes with our foreign minister, Edvard Beneš, and they criticized Karel Kramář very, very much.
Gradually, Kramář and his party, the National Democrats, lost popular support. The fragile government stepped down while he was still in Paris following poor results in local elections. In the end, he only served 8 months as prime minister, and his greater political ambitions went unrealized.
We can say that he was the first Czechoslovak prime minister, but he wanted to be also the president of Czechoslovak Republic, but he only wanted to be because it was unbelievable, it was impossible, because nobody else wanted Karel Kramář to be Czechoslovak president as well.
And today, Karel Kramář is arguably best remembered for a beautiful villa overlooking Prague and the seat of the government, that villa still used by prime ministers for negotiations and key political talks. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. We now have an important announcement for you if you're a listener on shortwave.